Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com. That's AbilityChiro.com.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
What's most important?
Breaking news!
Hello and welcome to a breaking news edition of What Most People Think. And how do you know it's breaking news? Well, you'll have just heard the new What Most People Think breaking news jingle. What do you think? I know change is difficult. I really like it. We might make one or two tweaks to it, but you know, this is the thing. You've got to reinvest. You know, I've got the adverts, I've got the Patreon, but I never keep still. I'm like Elon Musk, but except a lot less profitable, you know, in a way. Speaking of profitable, right, I am busy. I'm a busy man at the moment. And I think it's because Labour got in. I've been missing a trick. All these years, I should have voted Labour years ago in terms of my own business interests. I've had a busy month or two. I recorded the news quiz last night, so that was Thursday. That's going out tonight on Radio 4. I'm doing Times Radio on Saturday morning. I'm hosting 10 till 1. And then, of course, the Basic Bloke, my comedy special, is on the Next Up comedy streaming platform. And if you want to do a little taster, you want to do a little taste. God, that was the most cockney I've ever. You want to do a little taster, like a little taste of that. I sounded like somebody selling Charlie around the back of a fucking lockup. Do you want a little taste of that, son? Get out of your gums. That was too specific. You get on YouTube. The video should be up now. There's like a 15-minute taster. And if you're a Patreon, you've also managed to negotiate a pretty hefty 30% discount. So go to YouTube or Patreons. Check your account. What are we going to talk about in this episode? Well, there's been a lot happening. We're going to talk about Labour's NHS brainstorm and the early prisoner release thing. But the main thing is really the US presidential races. It hots up in the last, 2 weeks, 10 days? It's been a mad week. We've had Trump versus Labour. We've had Trump working at McDonald's. We've had more Kamala word salad. I mean, this is the point, isn't it? In terms of optics, Trump is McDonald's, Kamala is salad, right? That is not, you want to be, what was that famous thing from The Simpsons? You don't win friends with salad. You don't win friends with salad. But yeah, there's also, you know, as much as the Donald provides entertaining content, there is this claim by a former US four-star general that he is a fascist. So, you know, this is the thing, is somebody like me who sees politics like entertainment, as much as we're enjoying all the Donald content, the Don-tent, I just made that up. Can I just look, if that becomes a thing, please just remind people that was made up here. And we should also remember that he is a very thin-skinned man, and you know, it's worth thinking about what his presidency might look like. New patrons, remember, if you're a patron, you get the podcast early, ad free and with bonus content. You just go to Patreon, What Most People Think, or search Jeff Norcott. And I should point out that you can get it into your podcast app. Some people don't realise this, is that you can make it delivered in the place that you'd normally get it. It's just longer, you know, it's just more satisfying. And of course, if you do join, you'll get your name roasted as a mark of respect. That's what roasting is in comedy. It's a mark of respect. I remember when I did a backstage with Catherine Ryan, and we had those scenes, which is still on Amazon Prime, by the way. But we had those scenes in it where me and Kath were working out roasts. And I said a roast about a female comic. And the joke was, words can't describe how beautiful I find her, but numbers can, 6 out of 10. Now, yeah, it was very harsh. Of course it was harsh. But there was a critic in The Guardian that just, well, this is a bit sexist, this is a bit wrong. It's sort of like, have you researched the roast on any level? You say the wrongest fucking shit. And it was really weird because in that episode, we had jokes about calling people sex offenders. I think I said that Sean Walsh looked like he had a smelly dick. But of course, being The Guardian, calling a woman a 6 out of 10 was obviously the worst thing imaginable. We don't have a domain talking point because David, well, I haven't given him time really, but I have. It's a worthwhile time to remind you that you can email me. Obviously, if you're a Patreon, I get direct messages. I get those quicker and I respond quicker. But if you email me, I check those from time to time. whatmostpeoplethinkuk@gmail.com. I had an advert from somebody called Sinbad, who lives in Ireland, and said that they didn't get adverts, and then suddenly they started getting adverts. And the first advert they got was for a pelvic floor exercise. Look, I'm just saying, it's to do with your cookies, Sinbad. That sounds like I'm talking about your pelvic floor. It's to do with your cookies, baby. Your cookie ain't what it was. So I'm just saying, if the cap fits, men, we have to do pelvic floor exercises too. You see, you know, we spoke about male objectification. We can't rest on our laurels. You know, we can't. Women keep telling us about dad bods, they find them sexy. They don't really. That's the truth of it, is the dad bod is just reassuring to women. You see, to a woman, if you're with a woman a long time, if you're just a bit fatter than her, there's less chance you're going to cheat. Am I just being more indiscreet in this podcast than I have for some time? Another message I got was about Matt Ford. People, I think there was that notorious, infamous, maybe not infamous within our circle, when Matt Ford came on. And it was at a time when the Tories were in free fall. They'd had three leaders in 100 days. And Matt was on a full sort of pro-Labour, anti-Tory form. And look, I listened to it and I accepted it because at the time it was very hard to fight back when the government were in chaos. And then I had Matt on again just after Labour had won. So it's sort of in the honeymoon period. And a lot of you have been saying, when are you going to get Matt Ford on again to hold his feet to the flames of what Labour have done in their first period in office? So I'm pleased to say he's going to be joining me for a Christmas special. Well, not a Christmas special. That'll be with Romesh as usual. But a sort of mid-December review of the year. And I promise you, I'll go full Jeremy Paxman. I'll even ask a question 15 times. Although that question might just be, what's your favourite Christmas film? Okay, we always got to have a thank you and a fuck you. I want to say thank you to a hotel in Brighton. I did a gig in Brighton last night. But not last night, Wednesday night, with Simon Evans and Dominic Frisbee. And all the right-wing comedians in one place. Well, most of them anyway. And it was a place called Rockwater. And I kept calling it Blackstock. And I just thought, well, it just sounds like some sort of evil hedge fund. But it's a really nice club down there, Rockwater, on the seafront in Hove. And we had a good night. But I suddenly thought, you know, this is three gammons. It sounded like a joke, didn't it? Three gammons walk into a private members club. And the first gammon said, I don't know what the joke is. Maybe finish the joke for me. And then actually, people started speculating on what would be the collective noun for a group of gammons. I said, would they be called a grump? A grump of gammons? But there were better suggestions on X, formerly known as Twitter. It's just Twitter. I think the best one was that it was an outrage. An outrage of gammon. So I was at the hotel in Travelodge. By the way, seafront Brighton. I was thinking, my God, this is cheap. It's in a great location. I've got a sea view. And then I went to bed about 10:30 and I could hear the music. And I realised that my hotel was opposite possibly the only walkabout pub in Britain that is still busy midweek. I mean, and not only that, there was a Revolution vodka bar. I thought, sorry, is this the fucking mid-noughties? Do you know what I mean? Is Will Young and Gareth Gates going to come falling out of there in a minute? So that was, you know, I'm always up for people having a good time, but the music is, oh my God, it was shit. I mean, one thing you forget about, people talk about nightclubs shutting, and the kind of nightclubs they're talking about, I've got to be honest, I don't want to see anybody lose their job, and I want all hospitality sectors to thrive, but the music in commercial nightclubs, when I was young, it's just how quickly they'll go from, okay, we're playing Darude by Sandstorm, Sandstorm by Darude, da, 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 da. So it'll be like really trancy track, and then it'll be like 50 Cent, you can find me in the club, and you're like, what the fuck is going on here? And then it'll be, hi-ho, silver lining. Well, and then Grease, well, it's a hope in the morning, but yeah, what is going on? I feel like I've become schizophrenic, musically schizophrenic. Can you call it schizophrenic? What's it called now? Non-binary, that's to do with sex, isn't it? I don't know. You're all screaming it, aren't you, now? But bipolar. There you go. I knew it was by something. Anyway, fuck you. I need some sleep, man. The fuck you goes to something I saw on Politics Live. So Stella Creasy, the Labour MP, was on with, I forget the geezer's name. He's a Tory. He's one of the nice Tories. He's George Freeman. She was on with George Freeman. And he was talking about people working from home, and he was saying, look, at the end of the day, you know, if you're working from home, work, but you can't be doing it with like a child sat in your lap. Like I saw once, you know, somebody was talking to a minister, a civil servant was talking to a minister, and they had a child on their lap. And then Stella Creasy, the Labour MP, who's obviously very pro-women, pro-childcare, pro-everything to do with that, she immediately was triggered by this, right? Because she's had stuff about childcare and her own difficulties. And she starts going, what don't you like babies or something? And I thought, fucking hell, this immediately looks like a domestic. Like, because it's that classic symptom of a domestic where he said something that he's fairly sure is reasonable and she doesn't like it. So instead of taking on exactly what he said, she's then gone, like, added three more DEFCONs to it. And like, what, a mum shit then? And he was like, And then he was talking about, she said, well, you must think I'm a bad mother because I did that during the pandemic. And he was like, well, you know, I'm not, the pandemic was obviously a different context, obviously. But she's already got him in a very delicate space now. Sorry, are you judging me as a mother? No man ever wants to be doing that. And then she went full DEFCON 5, launched all the nuclear arsenal and said, well, why do you hate babies? I thought, wow, as somebody that has been on Politics Live and has tangled with fellow female panellists, I thought, I feel your pain, brother. You are now in a space that you did not expect to be. I could see it in his eyes that he felt fairly certain that he was on solid territory, but every part of him just probably wants to go, my bad. No, George, just hang in there, man. So that'll be my new thing now, is that if ever somebody is saying something I don't like, I'm just going to go straight to, why do you hate babies?
What most people think.
Okay, all right, let's start off with a bit of UK politics before we get on to the US presidential race. So, slightly calmer waters for the government, but they've got a lot of still stories for them to deal with that are difficult. We had the early prisoner release program earlier this week. And look, it's fair to say that, you know, this is something they've inherited from the Conservative government. There's every sign that the Tories would have had to do the same thing. However, right, if you're an incoming left-wing government, right, the worst possible thing would be to be perceived early on that you're sort of soft on crime. And then suddenly cut to outside prisons, you've got these lags, right? These lags coming out. Only the tabloids call them lags. And they're coming out and they're getting in Bentleys. One of them's going big up Keir Starmer. The right-wing press must have had a semi all day long. It's just perfect for them, isn't it? The only way it could have been better for them was it like if the prisoners had come out on a log flume just with their hands in the air, you know? I mean, it's got the makings, isn't it, of the most boring like prison breakout film of all time. Just a load of convicts sitting around waiting for a left-wing government. But lads, so, right, lads, here's the plan. We just sit tight and we wait for Labour to get in. I mean, it's getting to the point, isn't it, where a 10 stretch is just going to mean the amount of days. He's got a 10 stretch. Yeah. It'll be out next Thursday. It is difficult for the public to swallow. You know, we don't have the prison capacity, but you used to get time off for good behaviour. Now it's going to be, well, look, has he shanked anyone in the last 6 weeks? But the main business I want to talk about was the NHS thing. So on the government website, the NHS, Wes Streeton was part of a rollout of a sort of consultation with the public where they could just, they could give their suggestions for how they think the NHS could be improved. And guess what? Guess what? Not all the questions and suggestions were serious. Let's just say, right, after the whole Boaty McBoatface thing, you know, in terms of naming that ship, which I never thought the Boaty McBoatface thing, I always thought that was more of a middle-class funny that I never, but the spirit of it, I get, was pretty British. We can't be trusted for our input on serious matters, can we? It's like we can't be trusted to just be in the final of a tournament or deal with a bank holiday where the weather is consistently above 30 degrees centigrade. It's going to go wrong. It's like asking us for constructive feedback, you know, say, right, you're going to watch a video of a waitress dropping a large tray of drinks. No cheering. We just want constructive feedback. It's not happening. One of the suggestions was to employ hot nurses, which I'm kind of in favour of, you know. I'm kind of in favour of. We have a difficulty getting men to the hospital. But the problem is once they get there, that's the thing, is the nurses were all really sexy. The men would just start showing off. They would definitely... The nurse would be like, so I hear you got a problem with your lower intestine. Not me, love. Go on, I'm, punch me in the stomach. Punch me in the stomach. Hard as you, don't hold back. Nah, do it again. I'm a double-eyed bastard. Maybe it should all look like the set of Carry On, you know, Carry On Doctor, to make it a bit sexier. You know, that's the problem with the workplace. You're just not very sexy anymore. You know, one suggestion was that you could introduce Daleks onto the ward to encourage people to leave quicker. I'd just say introduce Esther Anson wandering around with the syringe, you know. Everyone would fucking get out there, wouldn't they? Or how about just robes that do up properly round the back? Could we just start with the basic stuff? Has anyone ever... You could put Sydney Sweeney in one... No, she still would look sexy. A lot of my older male listeners and women who like women listeners suddenly Googling Sydney Sweeney. Let me tell you, you won't be disappointed. So moving on. I don't even feel bad about that, because in weeks where we've got the Metro paper saying, is that his real penis? I think the gloves are off, man. The gloves are off. Let's just all objectify the fuck out of each other. Let's just make it like The Purge. Okay. I mean, let's talk about the NHS. I think, right, they're going to give the NHS 10 billion quid in the next budget. It just always gets more money, doesn't it? It's just one of those things that always costs more, the NHS, like parking in city centres, airport parking. Did you see that thing recently where they said that I can't remember where the airport was, but the hugging time of 3 minutes. So when you drop off, the amount of time you're allowed to hug is 3 minutes. I think there's a lot of basic blokes going, I think that's a bit long. That would already be equal to the total amount of time I spent hugging my father. Why do you need to do that in an airport? 30 seconds, job done. Little pat on the back, release. But yeah, can we think laterally about how we can the NHS can fund itself? I would say take adverts, like this podcast, take adverts. That's what everything has to do in the end. You know, I know that there was that famous Robin Williams routine that people often quote is about that, you know, politicians should be like Formula One drivers and have everybody that's sponsoring them sort of sewn in as badges on their jumpsuit. I think the NHS should take that principle and run with it. I just slip in product placement wherever you could. Like if you're waiting to go for an MRI scan, you know, when you're lying there, it's really boring. It could just play you adverts, you know, it could play you adverts for holidays of... you know, what your relatives are going to do with the inheritance. Or, you know, like just as you're waiting to go through, like it could say, you know, like in the cinema, there's still time to get a Coke in the lobby like they do in the cinema. God, I am being very flippant today. I'm going to carry on with it. We need a more efficient system as well. You just sit there, you're in a waiting room with loads of other sick people. Drive-throughs. Everyone loves a drive-through, right? If you go to a McDonald's, sometimes there'll be like three cars in the car park. And if you wanted to walk up, you would get served a lot quicker. But then you see 20 cars in the drive-thru because everyone would prefer to do stuff where they don't have to get out of their car. So that's what we need. We need a drive-thru. So like the first window, it'll be like, what are your symptoms? The second window, you actually see a doctor. And then the third window, you collect your meds and ideally like a McRib. If it's, you know, they're not always running the McRib, which is a shame. How is that not a permanent fixture on the McDonald's menu? I don't get it. Like the McRib... It just makes these cameos. It's a bit arrogant, the McRib. It's good enough to know that it doesn't have to... Whereas the quarter pounder with cheese is there, just there slogging it out. Sorry, I think I might be hungry. At 9:30, Jeff, you're thinking about a quarter pounder with cheese. You've got problems, mate. Maybe I'm part of the reason that there's pressure on the NHS. But the thing with this nanny state stuff, right, is that I don't like the nanny state generally. But I also think that if you're going to do it, don't piss about. That's the problem, is they don't really go... They don't go all in. And I think that we need those, you know, like they talk about those warnings on cigarette packets. You see like a diseased lung or whatever. I think you should do that on food. Like on every Greg's sausage roll, just have a picture of a fat bloke stuck on a water slide, just looking all sad. Just go, this could be you. Yeah, this could be you and your Jet 2 holiday. Is it worth it? Right. So I think this is quite a smart move by Wes Streeting. To get a debate going. I suppose, what has it done? I'm always thinking with politics, is like one hand's doing this, what's the other hand doing? So it's shown Wes Streeting as having a sense of humour, because he quoted the idea for having a Wetherspoons in every pub and said that he was in favour, but the Treasury had blocked it. So, you know, he makes himself out to be the fun guy there. So I think that, but also I guess it's quite a smart way of putting it in your mind that things need to change and that it sort of cements the idea that he's a reformer. But all I'd say is good luck to him, because in public services, I worked in a school, Jesus Christ, trying to get in a secondary school a staff of about 80 teachers to do one new piece of paperwork was literally like trying to get assisted dying bill through Parliament. So, yeah, he might have the best intentions in the world, but I think the Labour Party itself and the NHS will be resistant. Okay, we're going to do a hype here. Next up, comedy, as I say, Basic Bloke, filmed live in Stevenage. And it's been interesting, you know, having feedback from people from Stevenage. It's made them feel very nostalgic for... How shit, Steve. I'm sorry. Look, if you live there, you know what I'm talking about. It's grim, but in an admirable sort of way. Like, they've gone all out on it. So that is up on Next Up Comedy. You can get, I think they do a free trial thing. So go to the website there and then watch my special and then watch other special. They've got people like Miles Jupp is on there, I think. Milton Jones is on there. You know, there's good comedy there. And, you know, you can do the trial and see what you think. Just a reminder of the work in progress dates. Loads of those are sold out. I think we're adding ones in Sunbury or Sudbury. I can't remember. One of them is near Kingston. One of them is in Suffolk and Guildford. But there are dates in Sheffield. Everyone's always moaned at me about Sheffield. I'm going to Sheffield. I'm going back to Darwin. There's a date in Luton, a first ever date in Luton. There's a date in Barnard Castle. And that is not me trolling the left with a reference to Dominic Cummings' infamous drive. So, yeah, get on Live Nation and go and get tickets for the Work in Progress leg next March and April. And, yeah, please watch my special on Next Up Comedy. But do the trial. Go on YouTube first. Have a little watch of that. Give it a thumbs up, like, go to Next Up, sign up, Bob's your uncle, Fanny's your aunt, Steve's your cousin, Gregory is your second cousin once removed. I've just got into it. You know, you get an older female relative that just loves talking through how everyone in the family is related to each other. Now, you've got a third cousin who lives out in Christchurch. All right, we're going to dive into US politics now. What a week, as it hypes up. What a week, right? So first up, we had this news that Donald Trump had gone to war with the Labour Party because the Labour Party had sent volunteers over there, right? Now, the problem is apparently that is very common in presidential elections. All in the West is that sister parties will send out activists and stuff to help out because they're politically aligned, right? And people keep saying, well, you know, this is the usual way of doing business. This is quite common. This has been happening for a while. This is also Donald Trump. That's the problem, I think, is you can't just say, well, this is what we've always done. Well, this is a guy that's talking about leaving NATO, okay? So you have to either, you know, really stand up to what he's saying or play the game more on his terms to get what you want. And in fairness to Donald, the problem is here is it looks like there might have been a rule broken. So there was an advert on LinkedIn. So they can go over under their own steam, off their own backs and off their own money. But there was a LinkedIn post saying that this is the most controversial thing that's ever happened on LinkedIn, by the way. It's just not, you never hear about the LinkedIn controversies, do you? It's always Twitter or Facebook, you know what I mean? There's never a celebrity posting their knob on LinkedIn. You know, might be a way of getting a job. Certainly if you're Arnold Palmer. Anyway, we'll get to that. Trump talking about Arnold Palmer's penis. Yeah, God bless, you know, rest in peace. Not anyway. So they were offering or suggesting that the accommodation might be covered. We'll take care of accommodation, which could mean we'll help you fix you up with somewhere cheap. So Donald is calling it far left interference. I mean, first up, far left. I think that would be I think we could sue Donald for claiming that the Labour Party are far left. Well, certainly a lot of Labour voters would. You know, is it? Are they? I hope so. It's quite a stretch to look at Keir Starmer. I don't know what Keir Starmer is, but yeah, far left doesn't seem to be an apt description of his politics. And it is quite a cute idea, isn't it? That British activists are swaying the US election. I just don't know if we've got that sort of clout anymore. It's sort of like saying that Taylor Swift is principally influenced by a Mutia from the Sugar Babes. You go, it'd be a nice idea, but I'm not sure that's where we're at, right? So Donald already is on the attack with the Labour Party, and that must have been just so upsetting for Keir Starmer and David Lammy, who've literally just sucked up to Donald ever since. I don't know what it was, Lammy called him, you know, fascist, neo-Nazi. I mean, that Lammy was the guy that once said that the European research group and the Tories were worse than the Nazis. So I don't know what he called Donald Trump, you know, worse than Emperor Palpatine and the Eye of Sauron if they had a bastard child and it was infused with the blood of Darth Vader's still twitching corpse. So they've gone on this charm offensive, and then, you know, Donald's basically said this is election interference. So it's just a reminder, isn't it, that for as much as Donald provides content, he is a deeply unpredictable character, and it really suits him to say they're interfering with us. Foreign interference. The problem is, it's British interference, and Russian interference sounds like it might actually get a result. British interference just sounds like something that might introduce like needless layers of bureaucracy. And what else happened? So fascist, right? He got called a fascist. There was a former four-star general called John Kelly who said that Donald Trump, he believes he would be like a fascist in office. He also alluded to, and this is his account. I mean, it sounds plausible that Trump said this, but this is still just, you know, it's unverified. But he said that Trump said that, you know, Hitler didn't get everything wrong. I mean, that's not like, look, if you're at Weatherspoons any Thursday night, there'll be a bloke at the bar that will say, so, you know, so we like about Hitler, he didn't get everything. You know, there are guys that's a logic that people deal in. I'd say overall, Hitler was, you know, not a great guy and politically a fucking disaster for Germany. But yeah, all right, yeah, they might go, well, he liked dogs. All right, great. But yeah, I think unequivocally, he, you know, when you tot it up, with the pros and cons, I'm going to say it weighs towards cons. So it's quite a cliched sort of argument. But then Kamala, who's Kamala, the way he says Kamala is hilarious, by the way. It is hilarious. Kamala, he's a fucking funny guy. There's no getting away from it. I'm laughing thinking about it. So Kamala, who started her campaign talking, remember when Oprah was saying, we want joy, it's all about joy. And their campaign strategy was to just say that Trump was weird. He's just weird. You know, I thought that was quite an effective thing. Oh, look at him, old, unstable and weird. Now she's gone, he's a fascist. Now, the problem is calling Donald, he's been called that before. He's been called everything. I thought that the calling him weird thing was actually the best strategy because it was the one thing that hasn't been done, right? And the problem with calling Donald Trump a fascist is you don't want to get into name calling with Donald Trump because he's good at that. Like Comrade Kamala is catchy. Sleepy Joe Biden called a guy Tampon Tim. You got to come up with like an alliterative sort of nickname for him. You got to call him Donny Deutschland. Dachau Don. Oh, is that a bit harsh? Dachau Don. Yeah, call him Dachau Don. Just something that sticks in the mind. You know, because none of it has worked before. And yeah, he is weird. I mean, we talk about him talking about Arnold Palmer's penis this week. If you haven't seen it, just watch the clip. He talks about Arnold in this reverential way, just like almost like, yeah, penises, you know, they don't make them like they used to. And then the daughter of Arnold Palmer, she came out and she said, look, Dad wouldn't have wanted to be remembered as having a massive penis. Well, she didn't say it in those words, but that's essentially what she was insinuating. I'm like, I get what you're saying, but I'd quite like to check with Dad on this one because I would, you know, I would love to be remembered as Jeff Norcott, a much-loved comedian. But also, I wouldn't mind it if they said, by the way, we struggled to shut the coffin. And then there's this issue of celebrity endorsements, right? Donald Trump is going to be appearing on the Joe Rogan podcast, which I think must be like Alien versus Predator for anybody who did gender studies. I mean, you can just imagine their brains frying. And then Eminem was on stage endorsing Kamala Harris. And Barack Obama came on and did this joke about lose yourself. And he started quoting the songs. And he got a bit, I didn't watch the clip. He got a bit too into it. Everyone's like, oh my God, Barack Obama is so cruel, the greatest ever. I don't know. I think he is a great orator and he's incredibly persuasive and a relaxing person to watch talk, which is always worth its weight in gold. I thought this was a bit weird. He's almost started shouting and like, okay, mate, all right, granddad. And in a way, the granddad thing kind of sort of speaks to my point about Eminem is we over here, we believe that American celebrity, it's like the highest form of celebrity, isn't it? So we say, oh my God, Eminem endorsed Kamala Harris. Well, Eminem, this isn't the first time, right? He is a Democrat. He wrote a song against George Bush. He came out in 2016 and basically said to any of his fans that were thinking of voting Trump that they're no longer his fans. You know, he's got a history of this. And he's also a bit of a legacy figure out there. He's no longer like a young guy. Eminem is 50. I think he's a fucking grandparent now. You know, I think 8 Mile might just be how close he wants his granddaughter to live to a good school, like the furthest distance. I mean, it was same with Bruce Springsteen as well. Bruce Springsteen appeared at a Democratic convention. Yeah, like everyone for the last 40 years. Beyonce's probably going to invoice Kamala. I mean, that sounds like it might be more likely. Yeah, of course she will. I don't know if this moves the dial anymore. I wonder if, you know, going on Joe Rogan is more important than all those things put together, because Joe Rogan is that thing where you might just persuade people. We sort of take it as read that Lady Gaga, Katy Perry, Beyonce, Bruce Springsteen, probably most Hollywood actors, I don't know, those people don't seem cool anymore. I don't know what changed. And then they say, well, look at who's endorsing Trump, Hulk Hogan. You go, well, that's funny. And that's sort of cool. Look, I'm not, by the way, for the history books here, I think it should be said that as much as I enjoy the Don tent, right? Is that a shit word I'm trying to get going? I want to say for the record, in case my son is listening to this in the future and Donald Trump is entering into the 50 year, you know, where his brain is just in some kind of like the 50th year of where his brain's in some glass cage thing and he's living forever. I'm sorry. Okay. I'm well aware that this man could well be the authoritarian leader that we fear, you know, but I just sometimes wonder if the Democrats, whether or not they fight him well enough. You know, they've had terrible candidates. Hillary, Joe Biden was just about sufficient in 2020. And now they've got Kamala. Kamala. I can't stop doing it. But, you know, there are weirdos on the American right as well. Tucker Carlson, fucking hell. This speech he gave, man. So the speech that he was giving was a sort of traditionalist speech. He was sort of trying to rally them up for the idea that Donald Trump is coming back to the White House. And he was like, and the metaphor he used was, daddy's home and he's pissed. And, look, it's the kind of thing if you said in Britain, you go, sorry, what the fuck is this going about? In America, I absolutely understand that appeal. It's sort of reasserting the idea of a sort of supreme patriarch. And maybe there are men and women who sort of think, oh, maybe that's simpler. They like that idea. It's a comforting idea that there's just this sort of ultimate responsibility in the household or in the country. I get the appeal of that. I think it's a bit simplistic and a bit outdated, but there you go, right? But then he goes on to start talking about this metaphor of daddy being home, and I swear to God, it gets so creepy. He goes, daddy's home, and he's cross with you. Oh, daddy's cross with you, and he's going to take you, and he's going to take you and just smack you on, he's going to smack your backside until it's raw, and he won't enjoy it. Like, why did you mention enjoy? No one said, why are you talking about, why are you even bringing enjoyment and smacking children's asses into the same set, but he's going to have to do it because that's what daddy, a good dad does. And like, seriously, Tucker Carlson, I know he's got fans on the right, but what the fuck are you talking about? You absolute mental bastard. So there you go. That is the breaking news episode. I think probably there was stuff there to annoy everybody. You know, Kamala fans, Trump fans, Tucker Carlson fans, NHS fans. If you think that I've got it bang on, then please give me a review on iTunes. While we're at it, let's have a look at some of the iTunes reviews. If you leave a 5-star, I will read it out. So let's see what people have been saying recently. This is always a bit of a fucking lottery here. We've got Thorpe JD who says, by the way, I spelled Sue Gray's name wrong. He says, otherwise we could do 50 shades of government. Fair enough. This is from Georgie JJ. Georgie JJ says that in Essex, lad. Essex. Jeff nails it week after week. 14 years of Tory misrule. Not right wing, not left wing, but on the plains. So quoting Tom Stayed There. I think I might have read that one out before. All right, so the last review was, a while ago. So if you like it, also review on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. I am back. We're going to be back on the main feed on Tuesday. So with the budget and the US election coming up, I need a political heavyweight in. So Ian Dale is going to be there. I then jet off to the States. So this may be the last, you know, this may be the penultimate podcast, but I'm going to go out of the bang with Ian Dale next week. Have a great weekend.
At Ability Chiropractic, They do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.